Welcome to the Padded Room Podcast, Outpatient Files. My name is Darian. Joining me tonight is a young lady that needs no introduction. She's half of the comedy duo over at the Resurrection of the Zombie 7 podcast. It's Little Miss Horror Nerd, Jessica Feeney. Jess, how you doing tonight, babe?
Fine, how are you?
Good. You're in Philadelphia, is that correct?
Yeah.
How's the weather over there, babe? You sound sad about being in Philadelphia.
Oh, I know. It's all right. It's raining right now.
Is it? We got a little rain out this way a little while ago.
I'm tired of this town.
Really?
There's too many trees. Yeah, I've lived here for 10 years. I'm sick of it.
Where did you live before that?
Just the suburbs of Philadelphia. That's where I grew up. But this place is just full of assholes and criminals.
Don't move to Reno, Nevada. That's the last place you want to be.
I actually went through there years ago on a train. I stupidly took a train to California from Philadelphia.
Wow, what is that, like 4 days?
Yeah, 3 days. It was a brainless move.
Yeah, and did you get stuck next to a fat guy? Because that would just make it perfect. Little Miss Horror Nerd, I have a confession to make.
Oh yeah?
My co-host in the Padded Room podcast, Miss Monica, doesn't know that I'm here with you right now.
Uh-oh.
I feel a little dirty, a little guilty. I feel like there's some sexual tension between us right now, Jessica. I'm going to be honest with you. And if Monica texts me in the next hour, I'm probably going to lie to her. I'm going to tell her that I'm at my mom's house or something.
Is Monica your wife?
No, she's just some lady that I met somewhere.
Are you married?
No, God. To Monica? Oh.
To anyone?
Oh, yes, I am married.
Okay, I thought so, because I looked at your Twitter and I thought there were pictures of you with a baby.
Yeah, I just found that baby somewhere. I don't know where that came from.
You just like to pick up random babies off the street.
Well, they're babies, you know? How can you not pick them up? Jesus Christ. I feel like this is the beginning of a lurid horror podcast affair, Jessica Feeney.
Well, Ron always says whenever I'm on someone else's show that I'm committing padultry.
Padultry. That's actually sounds worse than adultery, right? That sounds like it's on a different level of weird sex moves. Padultry.
Yeah. And when he gets invited on shows and they don't invite me, I get mad.
See? That's what it is. You people get jealous, right?
Yeah, I'm like, they can't have you if they're not going to have me. What are they doing?
I kind of wish other people would invite Monica so she would go, like, somewhere else. You know what I mean? Just not be around me for a minute. I'm kidding. I love Monica. She's a good kid. What else? I got to tell you there, Little Miss Horror Nerd, Jessica Feeney. I'm looking at your Wikipedia page, and I'm looking at what appears to be a lot of slanderous lies. So, if it's all right with you, I'd like to clear the air on a few of these things, if we could.
Okay.
It says here that you posed for Playboy.
Oh, no.
No?
I'm not good looking enough.
I disagree. I'm looking at a very flattering little icon of you right now. It also says here that you own 18 cats. Is that correct?
No. Oh, my God. I actually just unloaded one on my mom like 2 months ago.
I hate cats.
Do you?
I'm allergic to cats, man. I can't even be around cats.
Oh, you and Ron would get along well then. He's allergic and he's not too big on them.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on, man. I'm a dog guy, right? You come home from work, the dog's happy to see you. Come home from work and the cat doesn't give a shit. Doesn't even notice if you're there or not.
Well, when I was gone for a week at Ron's, when I came home, my one cat was waiting for me.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you just forgot to leave food out and it was starving to death?
Oh, my neighbor was feeding them while I was gone. I only have three.
Only I'm three cats.
Yeah, I'm less embarrassed by three than I was by four.
Because there's a big difference between three and four cats?
I feel like there is.
On the cat scale, four cats is like...
I know people that have like 18, 30. I mean, so then I really feel better about myself.
God.
I love cats, but honestly, after these cats die, the inn is closed.
Really?
No more cats.
No more cats? Yeah. See, you say that, but I know what's going to happen, Jessica. You're going to be walking by Petco, and there's going to be that guy out there with the cardboard box full of kittens. And then you're going to be like, okay, I'll take six of them.
Oh, no, no. I'm 42. If I got another cat right now, the damn thing could live at least until I was 60.
Your Wikipedia page here says that you're 85, actually. Are you telling me that's wrong, too?
Yeah. Have you been talking to Ron? Has he been lying to you or something?
Oh, good times. I tell you, man, I don't think, for all the crap that he gives you on your show, I don't think it's fair to you. I don't feel like he appreciates you.
Aww.
I don't feel that he respects you or treats you like the lady that you are.
Oh no, I would be upset. If he wasn't like that with me, I would get mad at him.
I know.
In fact, when I was at his house, we recorded, you know, like we normally would,
right.
And I told him afterwards, I was like, "You were too nice." I'm like, "They're not gonna like it. Why are you being nice to me? Are you just being nice to me because I'm sitting here?" I'm like, "You can't be nice to me. They want to hear us argue."
Oh, it's good times. Very cool. Well, let's cut the crap here, Jessica, and get into some horror business, shall we?
Okay.
What is? I'm not. Don't think about it. Just answer the question. What is your favorite horror film of all time? Go.
Black Christmas of 1974.
What do you like so much about that movie?
That movie's really scary. Like, I watched it probably at least 20 times before it lost its effect on me. I mean, I remember watching that and being, when I still lived at my mom's house, because I found it, I don't even know if it was under that name. It might have been, because it had a couple different titles, but I found it in Suncoast Motion Picture Company, which I'm sure doesn't exist anymore.
It did. I think it went away about 10 years ago, give or take.
Yeah, I found that in that place in a mall a long time ago, and it was on VHS, the first one that was on VHS. And I took it home and watched it, and I wouldn't even go like downstairs in my house at night when the lights are out. Like, I was scared. It was a really scary movie because it was that whole thing of like how all these murders happen and then the dude's still in the fucking house.
That's true. And there's still a dead body in the attic with a plastic bag on its head, Jessica Feeney.
Yeah.
How scary is that?
It was very scary. I hated that. That was like one of my top most creepy deaths that I did it for a blog, because I thought being suffocated was pretty creepy.
That's gotta be, right? Plastic bag on your head?
It can take a long time, too. I looked it up.
It can actually take
a long time. I mean, not like hours, but I mean, if it took 5 minutes to suffocate someone that way, I feel like those 5 minutes would be like a really long 5 minutes for that person.
Oh, I'm sure. You know what I never understood about the suffocation thing? Why doesn't anybody just bite a hole in the bag?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I mean, how hard could it be? You breathe in, the bag's going to go in your mouth, and then you just bite down, and then you do that a couple of times, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's true. I don't know. Maybe they're panicking so much they don't think of it.
Well, if they got 5 minutes, then, you know, you could almost make a sandwich in that time.
You could. Favorite. I don't mind the remake, but I mean, I don't know that it was necessary to remake that movie. I thought that was a really good movie. And the funny thing is, the guy that directed it, Bob Clark, also directed A Christmas Story, which is like the most famous, well-known Christmas movie ever, which I think is kind of interesting. Unfortunately, his son were killed by some dumbass drunken driver like 8 years ago.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
He was a great director, though. I really liked that movie, and I really like A Christmas Story, too. And
me
I think
too.
It's kind of funny that he did an evil Christmas movie and a happy Christmas movie. Like, he directed two different... Although, I will say, someone at once pointed out to me that the Black Christmas movie, it's not really about Christmas. It's more just set at Christmas.
True.
And that kind of lends the creepiness, like the juxtaposition of it being a holiday time and it's supposed to be happy and here there's somebody not just killing people in the house, because I think he kills somebody in town, too. He kills a little girl.
Right. But, I mean, at the same time, you could say that it is a Christmas movie, because I don't know if you get that same atmosphere like during the 4th of July. You know what I mean?
Probably not.
Because, I mean, I guess you just kind of get more like a claustrophobic feel in that house Like, mm-hmm. especially that last shot. That last shot was phenomenal. When the camera's pulling away and you see the snow and you hear the wind and then you get that creepy voiceover.
Yeah, it was. It's a scary movie. I think it's scarier than Halloween for sure.
I don't know if I'd go that far there, Jessica Feeney.
No. Well, I will say that music plays a big part because in the Halloween movie, it's the one that John Carpenter wrote, but for the Black Christmas, it's that creepy Silent Night music, you know? Yeah. So I wonder if you... Because somebody said that he... I read somewhere, it was in a documentary, that he showed that movie to some movie executives without the music, mm-hmm. John Carpenter, and they didn't think it was scary.
You're talking about Halloween, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. So I think music definitely plays a part in making something more scary.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, that movie pretty much set the precedence for obscene phone calls. I mean, yeah. I make a lot of obscene phone calls, and sometimes I just don't know what to say. You know what I mean? So then I go back to Black Christmas and I start talking about vaginas and blowjobs and things like that.
I know. That was crazy. I never heard anything like that in a movie before that movie. Like, I couldn't believe that they were saying that stuff in a phone call.
But better yet, the way the women reacted to it. They seemed to be pretty nonchalant about, you know, that kind of vagina talk from a complete stranger.
Well, the one girl, Margot Kidder's character was definitely, you know, she was just kind of like...
She was the ball buster.
She was just telling them off. But I think at least one girl who wound up dead first was definitely offended, at least in some some slight way. Because she seemed like she was the good girl of the group.
Yeah. I really need to step up my obscene phone call game, I think is what it boils down to.
I don't think that works anymore. Everyone has a caller ID.
I know. God damn it. It really ruins a guy's Saturday night, Jessica Feeney.
And nobody, do you answer a phone call that you don't know who's calling?
Well, what I have to do these days is when somebody I don't know is calling, I then answer it as an obscene phone call. Oh. So I pick up the phone and I immediately start talking about my penis. And hopefully it's not my aunt or anything.
Wow. Well, you and Ron would be really good friends. I had no idea that you were like this.
Yeah, you know, maybe we could, tag team call on each other sometime.
Definitely, I think you would get along well.
Beautiful. That's good to hear. Now, Little Miss Hornerd, you over at the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast specialize in doing, like, the franchises. You go, and I love what you do over there, by the way. You start at the beginning and you work your way through all of the whole series, all the movies in the series.
Yeah.
Which one so far has been your least favorite? I know you just finished the Wishmasters.
Yeah, we didn't love those, but I don't think those were the worst. I have to say, since I've been on it...
Leprechaun, right? No?
No, because Leprechaun was at least at some times, it was... Some of those were somewhat entertaining. I would say probably the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies.
Oh, yeah. God damn it.
After the first one, the first one isn't even like a quality movie, but it is kind of a classic Christmas horror movie. After that one, I would say they just went downhill because the second one was a rehash of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's some new stuff thrown in, and then the rest of them just made no sense.
Right. It was like they were just taking it off on some off the crazy train rails or something. Which is cool.
Ron says that they will make a movie and then just slap a franchise title on it to get it to sell.
Yeah, they did that most historically with the Hellraiser franchise. Towards the end there, they were just making like weird cop dramas, but they'd shove Doug Bradley in there in the pinhead costume and then call it Hellraiser cop drama or whatever. Oh.
Wow, that seems like a difficult storyline to do that with, but I guess they managed it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you watch, like, I think there was one that had, like, a video game in it or some shit, and then there was one that was, like, a cop kills a hooker, and you're like, what the hell does this have to do with anything? Well, it doesn't, really, but here's Pinhead, and now we can charge an extra $5 for the DVD, so shazam.
Well, I think I only ever saw the first one in that franchise, and I stopped after the first one, so I don't know if any of the other ones were good or not.
Did you not like the first one, Jessica Feeney?
I liked it. I saw it it was probably, it could have been more than 20 years that I've seen that movie. I only saw it the one time, and I didn't not like it, but I don't know if it was my thing at the time, because it was a lot of them.
This could be a roadblock in our relationship here, Jessica Feeney.
Why?
Because I'm a certified Hellraiser nutbag. But to be honest with you, I get it. I mean, really, past the fourth one, they just go to crap. Because the first one, of course, is kick-ass. Second one, also pretty kick-ass. But it got a little weird with the dog. I'm not going to ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. But
I'll have to see it for the show, because we are going to do those.
Oh, really? Is that what you guys are doing next?
Yeah, I don't know about next, but we'll do everything.
Oh, geez.
Right now, but eventually we'll cover all of them, good or bad, as long as it's four or more movies.
Right on.
Then we do it. And if we get a new movie after we've already covered something, we have to go back and do a show for it.
I love that. I love that about you guys. I got a little crazy with it a couple weeks back. Well, like five, six, like a couple months back, I suppose. And I thought I was going to pull the franchise move. So we did all of the Return of the Living Dead movies.
Oh, we did those already. Ron loves the first one. He says that's the first time he ever saw boobs in his life.
Wow.
He was 11.
Wow. Yeah. Ron's a lot older than I thought he was.
Oh, Ron is going to be 40 in February.
Holy crapola, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of him, though. He's got a real baby face. He looks a lot younger than what he is. I think pretty much people tell me I don't look my age either, so I guess we have that going for.
Yeah, you guys could pass for, maybe like a older aunt and a younger nephew or something like that.
Great.
Some kind of a weird family situation. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, he constantly says how I'm so much older than him, and I'm not. I'm actually 3.5 years older than him, because he was born in February of 76, and I was born in September of 72.
Holy crap. Well, thank you for making me feel much younger and better about myself. I'm 36, and I'd like to stay that way.
Oh, you bastard.
Very cool. What did you guys think of the, we got Ron's opinion, now we have to get yours. What did you think of the Return of the Living Dead movies?
I liked the first two. I didn't love the last, I think it was three movies.
Yeah.
I would say that they're not my favorite kind of movies, but they were entertaining movies, and they were good movies. I did like them, but they weren't something that I would, like, if I went to the store, a video store, when I was a kid and saw, like, I would choose a movie like Friday the 13th over that any time. I wasn't, like, a zombie person. I didn't like zombie movies. I didn't like them. They were dirty, they were sloppy, they were, you know, clumsy, they didn't speak. I mean, I didn't really like, and I kind of just am really, like, a big fan of slasher movies.
So, okay. So
they definitely weren't slasher movies. I did, like I said, I did eventually see them because we had to watch them for a show, and I did like the first two, and then I like Night of the Living Dead, the original one. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely got some, like, I saw a documentary where he talked about that movie, and it's definitely not just a zombie movie. There's social commentary in it,
yeah,
which I didn't pick up until I saw the documentary and he explained it, because I don't usually pick up the background stuff, but it's still a good movie regardless. And there's been some other zombie movies here and there that I was okay with, but it's not my favorite thing.
That movie screwed me up big time as a kid, the original Night of the Living Dead. I think that was probably the first real horror film I ever saw. And ever since I saw it, I'd be out with my parents and I'd point out, like, senior citizens, and I'd be like, hey, that's a zombie right there. We got to get out of here. So that got me in a little bit of trouble, but that's okay.
But it's so funny because there's a documentary that IFC made called, I think it's called An American Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And that's a really good documentary. Mm. And they talk to different filmmakers, and George Romero, when they interview him in there, he says something that I thought I mean, I don't know where, if he made it up or if he got it from somewhere else, but I thought it was pretty profound. He said, we're all the living dead.
True.
You know, we're all going to die.
It's the truth.
We're all going towards that. You know, that's everyone's end, no matter when it happens. And I thought that was pretty interesting and true.
And also a really big bummer. Jesus Christ, George.
I know.
Holy cow. Take it easy, will you?
He's kind of a heavy dude, I think. Like, you know, he's very, I don't know. He seemed like that anyway in his interviews. He seems kind of philosophical. Mm-hmm. Well, he's also, like, got 40 years on us, so he's...
That's true.
He's headed there a little quicker than we are.
Yeah, he might be the first zombie, Jessica Feeney. What do you think about that?
It could be.
Holy shit. He's right there in your neighborhood, too, pretty much, man.
Where is he? Is he in New York?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Every Living Dead installment has been Pittsburgh-based.
I love Tom Savini, too. He's another one I really love.
I heard he's a real dick. I could be wrong. A lot of my listeners are in the Pittsburgh area, and one kid said he used to work at a GameStop, and like Tom Savini would come in because there was like a store next door that he was dating the store girl or something like that. He said he's a real dickhole, though.
Oh, well, that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe just caught him on a bad day. I don't know.
Yeah, I like his. I mean, I don't know what he's like as a person, but I like his effects.
Well, yeah, of course. How can you not?
I've never met him. I've never even been to a horror convention, which Ron makes fun of me for that all the time.
Dude, let me tell you a little something about horror conventions. If you want to go to one, you need to have about $1,000 in your pocket.
I know.
Well, otherwise, you're just going to be walking around with your hands in your pockets feeling sorry for yourself, because every celebrity is going to charge at least $10 for an autograph. And then there's going to be like all these badass merch booths where you can buy just any kind of crazy shit you can think of. And yeah, dude, like $1,000, easy.
That's what he said. He's going to go to the one in September in Indianapolis.
That'd be cool. And
a lot of really big people this year, and he was trying to avoid going because he said he dropped so much money at those things.
Oh yeah, dude.
He looked at the list of people now, and he can't because they're having a whole bunch of Scream people. And then I forget. It's a pretty extensive list, though. I'm kind of jealous. Of his place, but we do the closest one to me. There's a Comic-Con in Philadelphia every year. It's already passed. They had it in the beginning of May, and sometimes you get horror people at the Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get like a lot of weird stuff. Like I don't know what they're doing there, but there's a lot of wrestlers at those things.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Comic-Cons have those, but they do. I noticed the last 2 years they have tons of wrestlers.
Yeah.
The closest actual horror convention is Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Right on. Yeah, we just had a Comic-Con here in Reno, and I was actually asked to speak at it because I'm kind of a big deal there, Jessica Feeney.
Oh.
So, okay. Yeah, how about that shit? But it was me and a couple other guys, and we were in one room, and the room right across the hallway from us was the Green Power Ranger.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to compete with the Green Power Ranger. So there's that. But it was cool because I didn't have to pay to get in. And I didn't find this out until later, but my pass was all inclusive. So I could have went and got everybody's autograph. But nobody mentioned that to me at the time. And I didn't want to spend any money.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers. Norman Reedus was there, Jessica Feeney.
You watch The Walking Dead?
Fuck yes, I do. And I'm a little on the gay side for Norman Reedus. You watch The Walking Dead or no?
No.
But you're gay for Norman Reedus too?
No.
Not at all?
I know everyone seems to like him though. no, I did try to watch it, and I didn't get very far. I got to the episode where they kill the horse, and I was done.
Wow, that was like the third episode, man.
I know.
You know what? To be honest with you, it's really just a big bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, one week after the next, somebody dies, and it's somebody that you love.
They kill off main people.
Yeah,
all the time.
And it's usually in some grotesque fashion, and then you're like, oh, God. What? And then after a while, you're like, why do I keep doing this to myself?
Well, my favorite show, and the only show that I always watch and I never, ever, ever miss or forget about is American Horror Story.
Oh! You just hit a nerve.
Yeah.
See, now we can get back into the swing of our relationship, Jessica Feeney.
You like it?
You've redeemed yourself after shitting all over Hellraiser.
Yeah,
what do you think
that.
About this upcoming season? I guess we got Lady Gaga in the mix. Is that right?
It's going to be at a hotel.
I know.
Here. So that might be good.
I heard it's going to be based loosely on that hotel in Los Angeles, where they found the chick in the water tank. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I kind of think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, they found the chick in the water tank, and then like in the 70s, Richard Ramirez lived there for a couple of months.
That's gross.
Yeah, the Night Stalker. So that should be badass. What was your favorite season of American Horror Story so far?
It still is the first one.
Murder House?
Mm-hmm.
I go with Coven myself.
Yeah, I mean, I like them all, but I did like that one the best. And I remember being really upset when Jessica Lange, I can't remember her name in that season, but her daughter had Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
She's the actress who really has it, Down syndrome, for real. And when she died, when she got like hit by the car or whatever, I was so upset because I thought she was going to be able to get her in the house, and she couldn't get her in the house in time, and so she was really gone.
Yeah.
Forever gone. And it is a pretty depressing show, too, because usually almost the entire cast is dead by the end of a season.
It's true, but I like it because it keeps a pretty good pace. And since each season is self-contained, you don't have to, you know, like in The Walking Dead, there was like a 3-week span in season 2 where absolutely nothing happened except for like this weird love triangle crap. In American Horror Story, your life expectancy is pretty fucking low, so any episode could be your last, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of dig that.
I like how they put real people, like in the first season, it was the Black Dahlia that they had.
Oh, yeah.
Nina Suvari played the Black Dahlia, and then one of the seasons, somebody may or may not have been Anne Frank, and then they had the ladies.
Oh,
They had the ladies in the witch season, the black lady that
Angela Bassett
played is a real lady.
Yeah.
She really existed. And then
Kathy Bates' character was a real lady, too.
Yeah, that's a real person, too.
Yeah.
They probably exaggerated some of that stuff because I looked it up and I listened to a podcast that Ron told me about that talked about that person on it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it was exaggerated for the show, but she still wasn't, I don't think, a very nice person in real life.
I don't think so. I mean, she owns slaves, so right off the bat, that's a dick move, if there ever was one.
Yeah, but I liked her character because when she was in the modern world, she was just blunt, like she didn't know what was happening. She was just so confused. She couldn't understand why there was a black president. She was totally like taken. I remember that episode. She was just freaked out by that.
Yeah. The best episode though was when the zombies went to the house and Tasia Farmiga got down with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Oh, she just got put to the top of my celebrity sex list. I'll tell you that, Jessica Feeney.
Anyway, I like her and her sister. They're
That's
both good.
So episodes. Hard to believe that they're sisters, though, right?
I know. Elvira's got to be in her 40s.
Yeah, and Tasia looks like she's, what, 16, 17?
Yeah, I think she was under 18 when she did Murder House, so she'd probably be maybe around 20 or so now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Still smoking hot, though, I'll tell you that.
She's a good-looking girl. I liked that. I liked that episode, or I liked that season, except that I got said what they did to the character Evan Peters played. I was upset that they killed him and then they put him back together again.
I kind of liked it. Got all Remember? Frankenstein on us.
I know, but then he was like all weird and crazy and like, I don't know. I just was upset that he got killed because he was the one person who tried to help Emma Roberts' character when she got attacked by the guys in his house.
Yeah, and but she was such a bitch bag anyway.
She was, you know? I know.
God. You know what really stuns me about that show is how much they get away with for being, you know, regular cable.
I know. Well, FX, I think, takes a lot of liberties. You know, they get a lot, because I've heard curse words on there, like, worse than damn or hell or something. Like, I'm pretty sure I've heard shit at the very least. So they seem to get away with more. I'm not sure why or, you know, but they're almost sort of like an HBO or Showtime light because they can do more.
It's true.
You know, which is good. I mean, like, that show, Louis, is actually pretty crazy. And that show, I mean, he has complete control over that show because when they asked him to do the show, he told them the only way he would do it is if he could do everything, produce, direct, write, all of it, and have no, like, you know, no one else trying to creatively control the show. And he does some crazy things on that show.
That's true. So. Yeah, I've seen that one, too. It's a funny show.
So even, I think it's just that station, for whatever reasons, are able to get away with that, which is good for the shows that they have, because they definitely have a lot of really great shows. It's sad, but, I mean, those shows like FX, or those channels like FX and A&E, they beat regular TV now.
That's true.
No.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a good thing, because you're not going to see stuff like that on, like, a CBS or an NBC, probably, right?
No. No, their idea of controversial is like letting people say racist stuff on those reality shows and then not kicking them off for it.
Stupid. Oh, that's terrible. Very cool. Jessica, what would you say is your least favorite horror film that you've seen?
Oh, God.
That's a tough one, right?
There's a lot of shitty horror movies there out is. There.
Or, I mean, like on my show, I use the phrase I'm not mad at it a lot because I'm kind of a horror apologist. Even to me, even when a horror movie is bad, it's still a horror movie, so I can cut it some slack. But there are some out there that I just found goddamn insulting.
All right, so I'll say that this is probably in terms of production value, not the worst, but in terms of story and just what they did with this franchise is the Jason Goes to Hell movie. I hate that fucking movie.
That's the one where he turns into a body hopper. Is that right?
Yeah, the slithery thing. And it almost reminded me a bit of that movie Slither, although Slither came out after that. But yeah, it was like a fall in or, you know, where he changed bodies. And there was never any Jason in that movie except for the very beginning of the movie. And The only redeeming thing in the entire movie, in my opinion, was the woman who it was like pretty much almost the only scene that was at a camp, and this woman and her boyfriend were having sex, and she was on top, and whoever was the killer at that moment came in and sliced her down the middle.
Yeah.
While she was having sex with her boyfriend.
You like that, huh?
That's a great kill. Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
That's probably one of the best ones in the whole franchise, actually, because some of their kills, especially towards the later movies, got kind of lazy and stupid.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just going kill by kill, I hate to admit it, but there were some good ones in Part 8, the one where he goes to Manhattan.
Oh, well, have you ever listened to those episodes that we did?
No, I'm afraid to.
Well, let me tell you, he was so angry on that kill, and I was telling him the whole time that he was being abusive towards me, and I was on the next week too, so we did the Jason Goes to Hell together too,
right.
And he was angry. I wasn't doing all the shows at that point. I was just doing some of them and not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the last show I think that I wasn't on was Saw Part 7, and then from then on I've been on every show since that show, which was we recorded sometime last summer.
Very cool.
So I didn't do all the Friday shows, but I did do 8, and he had been drinking and he hated the movie. He was angry the entire time. I don't think he had anything nice to say about it.
This almost like a marriage counseling session that we're having here, Jessica.
Right?
Which is fine. If you need to vent, go ahead. I'm here for you, babe.
I always try to find something, you know, that I can... It's hard with some movies, but I try to find some redeeming something in a movie, and so I came in with a few things and he just shot everything I said down. I just give up.
It's not a good movie. I mean, and I can't really defend it because it's not a good movie, but like the one that sticks out to me is, isn't there a kill where some guy gets like stuffed into a pipeline or something like that?
There's one where somebody gets their head dunked in a big barrel of crap, like not crap, but like probably like toxic waste or something in a New York alley.
That's probably what I'm thinking of. Yeah. And now that you've set me straight, I don't think it was actually that good. So Ron may be onto something on that one.
They had a kill in that movie where somebody was stabbed with a syringe.
Oh yeah.
That was so unrealistic.
Yeah.
That's not physically possible. Like, you would have to have like a needle that was like 20 times bigger and thicker than the one that they had. I'm a diabetic. If I can bend the needle just by like hitting it with my finger, it'll complete. Like, if I accidentally hit the needle with my finger before I use it, it's destroyed. I have to throw it away and open a new one.
Oh boy.
Because that's how easily those needles bend. Now, I don't know what the difference is for needles. You use different needles for drawing blood, for example. You probably use different, I'm pretty sure you use different ones for like
doing heroin.
No.
Well, heroin needles are obviously a lot tougher because they're from the streets, Jessica.
Oh, that's what you think?
That's what it is. Those are drug needles. You know? So they have tattoos and stuff.
Oh, whatever. What do they use on people to give them
IVs?
Their, like a rabies shot.
Right.
Because those are intramuscular, so they have to be stronger needles. They have to go into your muscles, so that's why those kind of shots hurt. But I thought that was stupid. I mean, but, you know, obviously whoever makes the movie, they're not always going to research every little thing.
Right.
That's apparent, so. But I like a movie that has a lot of good kills in it. Like, I start getting mad if no one's dying.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or it's really boring or off-screen or something. I mean, unless it's like a paranormal movie, like when we watch the Amityville movies, or like a movie like The Conjuring or Insidious, I know you're not going to have... You know, maybe somebody's dog might die or something, like whatever. I know. I hate when the dogs.
I can't handle that.
You don't like it when the dogs die?
No, I'm a dog guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have dogs. I've never had dogs as pets, but I like all animals, so I don't like it when any animals die. I hate it.
So, yeah, and it feels like they just do it now these days just to get that. They know they're going to get that reaction, so they just do it just to do it.
Yeah, well, I liked the Evil Dead remake a lot, but there was a dog in that mm-hmm. got beaten, and I was not happy about that.
Me neither. Although that was a pretty good show.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. I really liked, other than that one thing, I really loved that movie a lot.
Now, speaking of remakes there, Jessica, I understand you guys don't do remakes on your podcast.
Well, he broke that rule last week.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't really count. Is there a reason why you guys stay away from remakes?
Because he hates them.
All of them, just in general, or...
He says, you're making a movie that doesn't matter.
Well, that's... I mean, I understand his logic, and there is merit to it, because there are some really shitty remakes out there. But on the same note, my approach to remakes is, you know, as a long-standing horror fan, sometimes I'm not ready to give up these characters. But you, especially, should know that the deeper you get into a franchise, the fucking stupider it gets, generally speaking. Am I right?
Yeah, I agree.
So at some point, if we don't really want to give up these characters yet, we don't really have any choice but to reboot. Now, it's not to say that I wouldn't prefer a more original concept or something like that, but... I don't know, man. My approach to remakes is the same I would have towards step-parents. I know that doesn't make sense, but hear me out. You know, the stepdad comes in and he's not looking to replace your dad. He just wants to hang out and be your friend, you know, and have sex with your mom probably. But, you know, just because Jackie Earle Haley is coming in, it doesn't mean that Robert Englund is going to die. Or that we have to round up all of our existing copies of the original Nightmare on Elm Street and burn them. But it's just a different take on the same character.
Well, okay, so here's my opinion. For one thing, I don't like them simply because it means that we're taking up a movie, that we're making a movie instead of making something that's original. Like, I want something new. I prefer something new over a remake.
Okay.
And I feel like it's an easy thing. Like, they think, oh, we'll just make this movie again because it has name recognition and will make money off of it, rather than allowing for, you know, people out there who have coming up with new ideas. And now all those people don't even bother with Hollywood anymore. They just get a Kickstarter or one of those other ones and make their movie themselves because they're tired of not being able to get stuff made. And some of those movies turn out to be really good movies. So I think that Hollywood's missing out. And then the other thing is that, like, sometimes they really, like, that Nightmare on Elm Street thing, I mean, that was a mess. I can't, I'm sorry, but there's no Freddy to me except Robert Englund. Now, it's different with Jason or Michael Myers because those people wear masks, and it's been a different person here, you know, throughout the whole franchises. Some people were used more than once, but it was not always one person. And then you go remake the movie and use something completely different. And I mean, I don't have anything against Jackie Earle Haley. I just didn't. Even the girl who was in it, what's her name? Rooney Mara, the girl who was in the dragon tattoo. Mm-hmm. She even said that she was like just beside herself, right, with that movie. Like, she didn't want to, she was just like, I think she just did it for the work. Like, she just hated it. So, I don't think that was a good remake. But, like, I liked the Friday the 13th thing that they did in 2009. I thought that was good.
See, I think that, I kind of like the Nightmare remake more than that one. I didn't really care for what they did with Jason, just because now he's taking prisoners, and he's kind of this, I don't know, this, like, outdoorsy survivalist type of dude. Which, yeah, I thought was kind of weird.
Somebody did bring that. I was on a guy named Bill Shetty's Horror on the Go show, mm-hmm. and that was like a couple weeks ago, and he brought that up, that he kidnapped somebody, and Jason's never done that before.
Right.
So a lot of people noticed that and were, you know, bothered by it. Frankly, it didn't even register with me, mm-hmm. so he pointed it out to me, and I was like, yeah, that is kind of weird, but I'm not offended by it, because I still felt like it was a Friday the 13th movie.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's there wasn't anything wrong with it. It's just kind of weird that they decided to add those elements.
Now, the Halloween remake that Rob Zombie did, I also liked that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I thought he brought a much darker
white feel trash. To it.
Yeah, well, everyone in all of his movies is white trash. I've been saying that for years. I'm not sure, but he's obsessed with white trash. Now, maybe he's white trash.
Probably.
I don't want to judge him by his outside, but he's white trashy looking.
Yeah, so he is.
He's white trash.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a good looking guy, and his wife is super hot.
I actually met them both at the one horror movie convention I went to.
I would love to meet him.
They're very nice people. I got him to sign my House of 1,000 Corpses poster.
Yeah, and I like his music too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's always good times. Awesome.
So I like that. Now the part two that he did, I thought like maybe he had done a lot of hallucinogenic drugs before he wrote that, because that was just like crazy. I don't know what happened, but he went bananas with that.
Yeah.
Like, the horse thing and then like the doctor's character wasn't the same, and even the Lori girl, the girl that played Scout. Was it Scout Taylor Compton,
yeah.
All she did was scream the entire movie and curse. And she screamed a lot in the first one, but it was, like, overbearing in the second one. She just, it was awful. Like, that's literally all she did for the whole movie. And it just, I don't know. I liked the hospital scene, and I liked Annie's death. That was really creepy, but it just kind of went berserk.
Yeah.
The whole thing kind of.
It kind of felt a little hipster to me too, like hipster? With the two girls that worked in the record shop and all, they're trying to get laid all the time. It's like, oh, okay, now you're just being weird.
Yeah, so I did, and he won't watch those. I don't think he would like the second one, but I wish he'd watch the first one, and I begged him.
Mm-hmm.
Refuses. Now he watched the Carrie remake for the show that we did last week. And he also actually saw the Friday the 13th one in the movie theater. So it annoys me that he breaks his rules sometimes. And he broke it for the show last week.
Yeah, so. Just to do the Carries, right?
Yeah, so now I don't know if I can work on him, because I want him to see the Halloween remake. But I will say, you know, I mean, I get. We did the Freddy versus Jason thing, and some people think that's a piece of crap.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, I love it. And we did that at the end of the Friday the 13th franchise. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, which is cool. I wish they would do more versus movies in the horror genre, just because I love seeing these guys fight.
Well, there's been something going around about Jason and who's that? Michael Myers.
Who do you think wins that fight?
I think Michael Myers.
I'm taking Myers too. Yeah,
because he's like, I think he's the least human of the three. Like, if you're just looking at the three, those two and Freddy, he's the least human.
True.
And he's the least sympathetic.
That's true.
Because you can be sympathetic with Jason because of his, you know, what happened to him when he was little. And then you might not be able to be sympathetic with Freddy, but he's human. He's more human.
And he's kind of a stand-up comedian these days, too.
Right, he's a comedy dude, whatever, you know. Closer to a real person, but Michael doesn't speak.
That's true.
Now, I think there's one scene in one of the Rob Zombie ones where he says, like, one word.
Really?
Someone told me that, and I think I went and tried to find it, and I did, but it was, like, so fast, you know, that you would probably miss it.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Is there a gurgling baby in the background?
There sure is.
How old's the baby?
10 months.
Oh.
He's giving me the stink eye right now.
Aw.
So nobody's paying attention to me. Very cool. Jessica, do you have... Is there any remakes that you find more tolerable than others? Other than Friday the 13th?
Yeah, I like the Halloween remake. I like the Friday the 13th remake. I mean, the My Bloody Valentine remake was okay. It wasn't awful.
Oh, yeah, 3D.
I don't think it was as good as the first, you know, the original movie, but it wasn't terrible. The Black Christmas one, to me, that wasn't even really a remake.
No, it got more into that character. What was his name? Jacob or whatever it was?
The killer?
Yeah.
The killer person? Yeah, Billy.
Billy, that's right. Which is cool because... In the original, you didn't really get any information about him at all.
But then I feel like that ruins things, because why do you always have to know?
I agree.
Doesn't it make it easier when you don't see the person and you don't know?
I agree. I recently went and saw It Follows in the theaters, and I went with a bunch of my...
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
It's a good show, but just like you said, at the end of the show, you don't really know anything. And yeah. I went with a bunch of my meatball friends, and they were all pissed off because they didn't figure out what was going on. But do you really need to know? I don't think so. I think it's scarier when you don't know. Because then, you know, when you leave it open-ended like that, then there's room for a sequel or a prequel, or maybe we'll find out later.
A lot better than they thought it was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
So there'll be a sequel to that. I've already read that they were supposed to be like a limited release or something, but then because of what happened with it and it being so popular, they decided to do wide release.
Oh, yeah.
I guess maybe wherever they showed it first, like a festival or something, it did really good, and that's when they decided to do a wide release. But, yeah, I want to see it. I was looking to see on Amazon, because things come up to where you can get them on VOD so fast these days that I wanted to see if there was a date, but there's not.
probably six to 9 months, I'm sure.
Think?
Yeah. I mean, that's usually what the turnaround is these days.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. And I kind of just like... Well, I saw the Babadook. What, did you see that?
I did. What did you think of that one?
I liked it. And I actually had to read reviews afterwards to understand what it was about, because I'm too stupid. I never get symbolism in movies. I always have to find out later. Like, I have to read about it or somebody has to tell me. But I read about it, and as soon as I read it, it made sense that it was about grief.
Really? I didn't get that either.
Yep, it was about grief. It was about the mom and the kid being sad because of the dad dying the day that the kid was born, and how they were dealing with it. And what my conclusion that I came to, because I found that out after I was done with the movie, was that the Babadook represented their grief. There was no Babadook. That was their grief. Because remember, at the end, he's in their basement.
Right.
And I think that that's just a representation of them trying to deal with their grief. Because if you lose somebody, maybe not like a maybe not like someone who's really old where you were expecting that they would pass away, but like if you lose someone who's young, a spouse or a child or a friend or something, I think you don't ever get over it. You just learn to live with it.
Right.
So I think the Babadook was their grief, and they just learned to live with it.
See, it's funny that that's what it was actually about, because I came out of there thinking that it had more to do with sleep deprivation, because the kid wasn't getting any sleep because he was terrified, which was in turn keeping the mom awake. So I figured that after a couple of days, you know, the mental stress of that was what was kicking in, and that was what was happening. It's interesting that we got two completely different things out of the same movie, though.
Yeah, and then the other thing was, like, how the kid says, like, towards the end, he's like, you can't make the Babadook go away.
Right.
And so that, to me, made sense, again, with the whole grief thing, because you can't make your grief go away. Like, that's not possible.
That's true.
Like, you're going to feel the way you feel about losing someone that you love, no matter what you do to try to, you know, bury it or put it in the past or ignore it or forget about it. It's not possible. So you have to learn to deal with it. Or else, I've seen people where I think it's ruined their lives.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I had a manager years ago whose son was on a dirt bike and he crashed and he bled out internally because his bone cut his artery inside of his neck.
Yeah.
He was like 22 years old.
Ugh.
And she was never, ever the same after that.
Oh,
she just like went crazy after that, you know. She just was a different person completely. And I had another boss who lost a son who was in his 20s to brain cancer. He was diagnosed dead within a year, year and a half.
Holy shit, man.
The brain cancer one, I think they were real hopeful that they'd be able to get it under control and manage it. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's never... You have cancer in your brain. That's not ever...
You're done, dude. That's it.
It's something that's not... Really, I mean, it seems like you can manage things like breast cancer or certain kinds of leukemias where you can put them in remission and stuff, but when you have it in your head like that, it messes up your brain.
Right.
And causes other problems, you know, where you can't function like a normal person because it gets in there. So, but yeah, I mean, these people, I don't think they were ever the same again. So that's kind of how I felt about the Babadook, is that the Babadook just represented their grief, because he was like this horrible presence, and he was overwhelming, but you never saw him. And there was this one guy on Facebook who's a podcaster, and I'm not going to say his name because I was arguing with him about it, but he was complaining about the movie, and he thought it was stupid. And I was like, well, it's probably not for you then, if you think it's stupid, because it had meaning to it.
You know you have to say his name now, right? Just say it, Jessica. Nobody's listening.
I am not telling, unless you're going to edit it out.
I will edit it out if you want me to. Okay. I know who you're talking about.
He's my friend on Facebook, and he's been on our show before, and he's also on our friend show sometimes, horror movie podcast. Jay and his crowd said he didn't like it. It was stupid. The kid got on his nerves, blah, 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 blah. And I finally was like, look, dude, I was like, I don't think this is a movie for you, because you just didn't get it. Like, you know, because he likes...
Yeah,
kind of like
I was just going to say, he's got some weird taste to begin with, because he was on Jesse's show, what is it, Horrorcopia, defending Leprechaun Origins, which makes no sense to me at all whatsoever.
No, he does have some strange, and it's funny, because I do like Freddy vs. Jason, so I'm not putting him down for this, but he was on Jay's show, the horror movie podcast, and he was defending that to them because none of them liked it. Like, Jay didn't like it, and then he also has Wolfman Josh and a guy named Dr. Shock on there, and none of them liked it, except, and so Will was defending it to them. And I mean, in that case, I'm on his side. But yeah, I mean, he does have some different tastes in movies, and I don't really think he's the psychological sort of guy. I think he's more into the he seems to really like slasher movies, for one, you know. So
yeah.
I don't think it was a movie for him. I think that's why he thought it was stupid. But I was like, it's not a bad movie, you just don't understand it, so you're saying it's a bad movie, but it's not. It's because you don't get it, it's not your thing,
right?
So you're not going to like it, you know what I mean? Like, I watched a movie last year called Gutter Balls, and then we just interviewed the director for that. He's made a part two. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I certainly have. That is a bizarro film. It's not really a brutal rape scene, but it is very wacky.
Oh, well, you know what? I should have asked him that goddamn question, and I forgot.
About wacky?
I wanted to know where he got the inspiration for that, because it reminded me of The Accused.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one was on a pool table, though, wasn't it?
Yes. No, it was on an arcade thing.
No, yeah, The Accused was on a pinball machine.
Yeah, oh, this one was on some... Yeah, it wasn't an arcade game. It was some kind of a pool table or
air
something
hockey
like
table or something like that.
It was brutal.
I would like to know more about that bathroom scene in that movie more than anything else.
The penis?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was a fake penis, correct?
It was, yeah. But they have versions of they have a version of that movie, and they're going to have a version of the follow-up movie that has actual sex in it.
Ooh.
Where the characters are fucking each other.
Woo!
They said they put out different versions because they want, like, they have some people who want porn with their horror and some who don't.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because my show, The Padded Room, was recently contacted by an actual porn star. I don't know if you ever heard of Joanna Angel, but she does a lot of...
Yes, I have. I've tried to get her. I've written to her because I want her to come on our show.
Oh, really?
Because she does those... Yeah, because she does those horror porn things, right?
Yeah.
She does those horror porn movies. And, I mean, I'm sure she doesn't get the messages because they go to your fucking other folder if the person's not your friend.
Oh, probably, yeah. She just contacted us and wanted some ideas for the next big porn horror spoof. So that's very exciting. I've been talking to her over for the last couple of weeks. She's on a dancing tour. Have you tried contacting her recently, Jessica?
No, this was a while ago. I sent her a message on Facebook, but I'm sure it went to that other thing. And
could be.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you can't message people on Twitter unless they follow you.
Right.
And she doesn't follow me, so.
Yeah. She follows
and us. I'm sure she gets a lot of mentions. Like, I'm a nobody, and for some reason I have like almost 13,000 followers, and I get so many messages and mentions. I can't answer all these people. Like, I would have no life. So if I'm getting all that and I'm no one, then I can't even imagine the amount that she gets and how she probably can't answer everyone. Even if she, you know, she probably misses people too. Not that she would necessarily have wanted to answer me, but I'm sure she just gets so many that it's hard to keep track. But I do like her a lot. I actually have a lot of respect for her because she's an entity, you know, within herself. Like,
oh, yeah.
She has her whole company, and she makes her money on her own, and she's all on her own. I just like that. I think she's a real
She's a champion. She's got a motor on her, that one. And she's actually, if you ever do get to talk to her, she's a very nice lady.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah. I mean, I think it's amazing that she does that stuff for herself because she has total control of everything, you know, that she puts out and what she's involved in, and she sells all her own stuff. I like that.
She recently put out her own fleshlight, and I'm trying to get her to send me one.
Oh.
Not that I'm going to use it. Maybe I could have a contest to give it away or something.
Yeah, I've seen those, though. They have them, and they have them, like, for different people, too. Like,
correct.
Different porn people. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've asked guys if it's even close, and they say no.
Hmm.
But say it's, I guess, at least something different.
That's the truth.
I think it depends on the guy. Like, my best friend, her husband has one, and he really likes his. But then I've had friends tell me that it's okay, mm-hmm. you know, but it's nothing spectacular. But that doesn't surprise me. She'll probably make a lot of money off of that.
Because
I don't really think there's a lot of girls like her in that industry. Like, maybe there's going to be more, or maybe I just don't know that there are more. But she's like that goth
girl. She kind of broke new ground with the emo porn movement. Kind of like the Suicide Girls, but taking it to the next level. I'd say.
Yeah. And I think there's a market for that because, you know, not every guy wants the girl that's blonde hair and blue eyes.
That's true.
Some guys like those girls, you know, so I think she's successful.
Right.
At what she's done. Well, you're lucky. I wish she had contacted us.
Yeah, I'd be honest with you. I have no idea how that came about. I just got a Twitter message from her, and she's like, hey, it's me. And I'm like, all right, perfect.
That is so cool. Yeah, well, that's how I got the interview with the director of Gutterballs. He just wrote to me on Twitter.
Very cool.
And I was like, why? I don't understand why he decided to pick us. I mean, maybe because I used to tweet a lot of pictures of myself. I haven't done that lately. But
yeah, I was going to ask you about that there, Jessica Feeney.
Yeah, I haven't been...
A little provocative over there on the Twitter feed there, sweetie.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're nothing like the stuff that I see in my feed from some people. I mean...
Oh, really?
Is there somebody else
I need to be following?
No, but I'm saying, like, I see vaginas and boobs and butts in my feed all the time. Like,
wow.
And sometimes it's porn people, but sometimes it's girls that, you know, you wouldn't expect that would be doing that. I'm always all covered up.
It's true.
I have guys that'll be like, oh, why aren't you going to tweet a picture of you naked? I was like, no, no, If I'm going to do that, first of all, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, I would charge money for that.
I would. I mean, nobody's going to pay me, obviously. I need to do some sit-ups first. But that's true. If I was you, I would get a picture of Ron naked. And next time somebody asks you for a naked pic, just send that one. I don't know if he'd be into that or not, but
they wouldn't ask me. Well, I don't think they would ask me again if they expected a picture of me and got one of him.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Some guy the other day, he wrote me that. He wrote me, where can I find some naked pictures of you? And I was like, I'm thinking, do I want to answer this person? And I looked at his Twitter, and it seemed like he was talking to a lot of girls like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some were responsive and some weren't. And I just decided that he was just a dirtbag.
Right.
So I blocked him. I was like, whatever. If it's a listener, I'm not usually, like, I'm not rude. I'll just be like, no, this is it. Sorry, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But if it's, you know, because I don't want to be rude to them. If I'm going to put a picture out there and they have a question, then that's fine. But, like, if it's just some random person that I don't know where they came from, because there's some real scummy people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because Twitter really,
talking,
like,
to one of them right now.
Is that?
I said you're talking to one of them right now.
Oh, God.
I don't appreciate you blocking me either there, Jessica.
I did not. I would never. But I'm just saying, there's, like, no rules on Twitter. Facebook, like, you can't get away with anything on, like, just any old thing on Facebook.
Yeah, that's true.
Because on Facebook, people report people constantly for, like, the slightest little thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they like nudity on Facebook, because I've heard they've taken down even, like, people who were, like, celebrities who posted things that they don't like. So, but on Twitter, anything goes. Like, I've seen some really disgusting shit on Twitter.
I wish I could get to that level of just not giving a fuck. You know what I mean? To where I could just find some young lady on Twitter and be like, hey, show me your tits. I don't know. I just feel creepy about doing stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would have to say that.
I mean, I get a boner, don't get me wrong, but I have you porn. I don't need to go accost people for naked pics.
So I've been on that. I've been on that website.
What, you porn?
I exhausted that in like one night.
You exhausted it?
Because it was too hard to look for stuff. There's so many videos on there that it's tiresome.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're like me, then you have like a certain group that you follow. And then that's what you go with. And then so I just head right to that section and then boom, that's where I am.
People had told me about that. And then I just looked it up one day and I used my tablet for it. So maybe it would have been less exhausting had I had a larger screen. But I'm just like trying to look for stuff. And I'm like, this is crazy. There's so many videos on here. Like, I'd rather just have something where I know what it is like ahead of time. Although I will say I don't not like porn, but I kind of like porn documentaries.
Those are the weirdest, man. I know what you're talking about. I watched one the other day. It was like retired porn stars or something like that.
Yeah.
And then after I was done, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go check it out on YouPorn. And then I go and I start typing their names in and, you know, watching them do porn. But I'm like, oh, she actually has two kids and her husband's kind of a dick. Oh, now I'm creeped out by it. Yeah.
Yeah, that, and I kind of like those Katie ones that are on HBO where she does a different Katie.
What's her name?
The blonde girl.
Yeah, with the real mousy voice.
Yeah, I can't think of Katie her.
I want to say Katie Holmes, but I know that's not it.
Oh, that is. She's cute. I like her little show because she is different. I don't even think it's on anymore. They just rerun it.
Yeah.
And I like the real sex shows because I like the different topics that they do. They're kind of interesting. Did I tell you, speaking of porn, I met Ron Jeremy.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wow. How was that? Before you answer, let me ask you a question. Every time I look at Ron Jeremy, I say to myself, there's a dude that does not smell pleasingly. Did he have an odor about him?
Oh, no, he smelled really good.
Oh, really?
Really good cologne. Yeah, he was very, very nice.
Okay.
He was very gracious. He was very appreciative of the ladies. Loves the ladies.
Did you trip over his wiener or no?
No.
You were able to avoid it?
I was able to avoid tripping over his wiener, yes. He actually invited us to an after party because it was for a movie premiere that he had a bit part in a horror movie last year that was just, you know, it was a low budget. It was called Jersey Shore Massacre.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was a ripoff of that show from MTV. It was okay. I got to go to New York and watch the movie in the movie theater, and we didn't go to the after thing. He did invite us. It was funny because before I left, Ron kept telling me, he's like, Ron Jeremy's really going to like you. And I'm like, how do you know that? And honestly, he was like hugging me. He wanted kiss me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, every time he would see me, he would grab me and hug me.
Oh,
he was
very
nice, though, and he was very sweet. And I can kind of see why women like him, because he's very, 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 very nice and very gracious.
And he's got a schlong the size of my leg.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to, Jessica Feeney.
Probably so, but you know, I don't think his attitude hurts.
Well, of course not.
I think he probably treats women really well. At least that's how he comes off. I mean, you know, he's just a nice guy, and he signed a DVD for me for Ron.
Nice.
I actually went up to him when he was talking to somebody, and he signed one of the movies because Ron couldn't go. It's way far away from him compared to me, obviously. It's like 100 miles for me, and mm-hmm. I don't know what it is from Indiana, but here to Indiana is 700 miles, so there was no way he was going. But I liked him. I thought he was cool, and I think it's really cool that he takes work in all these little B-horror movies now because he can't do the porn anymore. He's clearly too old.
I think he still does it every now and then, doesn't he?
Well, he had a health scare a couple years ago and almost died.
Wow.
Something with his heart. I forget. If you go on IMDb, it tells you about it. It was about a year, maybe like two, 3 years ago. So I think he's probably at the point where that would be best if he didn't do that as a career.
I would imagine.
It's taxing.
But oh, you know what's boy.
Funny is I saw some clips of him on this show that there's a show called Dave's Old Porn.
Oh, I love that show. Yeah.
That's a funny show. And that comedian's really funny, too.
Yeah, and he can beat off to it sometimes.
Yeah, and he sometimes he's had clips of Ron Jeremy. And he actually wasn't – I mean, he's a short guy. He's really short. But he wasn't totally unattractive when he was younger.
Well, no, I mean, like 1972 when he was, like, all shredded and he had a nice haircut.
Yeah.
And that mustache was actually a thing, but then after that, I guess he fell in love with Taco Bell or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with the mustache thing. Like, I'm not sure why you guys wear those anymore, because I always feel like it just goes back to the 80s rapist thing.
Yeah, or the undercover cop thing. Kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just out. Like, and it's been out, and I'm not sure that it's coming back. Most guys have, like, what you have, or Ron, he does a beard a lot of times, or if he doesn't do a full beard, he does, like, the chin and shaves the sides, you know? But you don't see too many guys with just the mustache only.
Well, the big beard is coming back, Jessica Feeney. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know.
I have it on good authority that you were quite smitten with old James Brolin in the original Amityville.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when we talked about that movie, yeah, I said to Ron, I said, I liked him. He's like a big, hairy guy.
So you like the hairy guys?
Yeah, yeah. But I think that has something to do with my age, too. Like, the older you get, you like the more mature guys. Sure. Because when I was 20, or in my 20s, like, I would date the guys with no hair on their chest, you know, 165 pounds, 6'1", you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm like, not so much into the hairless look anymore.
So now you're looking for like a teddy bear type of dude.
Yeah, yeah. That, for some reason, that's more appealing. I don't know why. And it's funny because, like, I would never have thought that I would think that that was attractive. But now, like, guys with a little belly or whatever, I think it's cute.
Ugh.
Because I don't think they think it's cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's lots of ladies out there that think it's cute.
Well, you've just given hope to an awful lot of my listeners, so thank you very much for that.
I mean, you know, what can you do? I mean, I will say this. It does become a problem when you get into your 40s because you probably shouldn't have that. It's probably not too good for your health.
I imagine not, right?
The middle weight there, they say, you know, that's, you know, you're headed towards heart attack country or whatever, heart attack city.
Yeah, you don't want that. You look so like you're in pretty good shape there, Miss Jessica Feeney. Are you working out these days or what?
Never. I've never stepped into my life. Are you insane?
Wow.
I'm like the biggest couch potato ever.
Yeah, and you are a little accident prone from what I understand.
Yes. Yeah, I fall down. Well, not all the time, but I have fallen down many times in my life. I've tried to cut down on the falling down with age because it doesn't, you don't bounce back as quickly.
That's what I heard.
But, you know, when I was younger and I drank, because I don't really drink anymore, I would fall down flights of steps.
Ugh.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I fell down the steps in my mom's house. I would fall down and when I was living down there, when I had my room down there, at one point I had a wardrobe, one of those rolling wardrobe things because we didn't have a closet down there.
Mm-hmm.
I fell down the steps drunk and landed in the wardrobe. It, like, came down on top of me.
Wow.
That was, like, a regular thing. Or I'd be, like, falling down on my way out of bars. I mean.
Look at you.
I was bad.
That's what it sounds like, girl. Holy shit.
Bad drunk and very clumsy. But I don't really drink anymore. I don't know. I just got over it. I was just tired of drinking. It was expensive and I hate being hungover.
That's the worst, right? Ugh. That's how I know I could never be an alcoholic, because I just feel like I got hit by a truck the next day.
And the older you are, the longer it takes you to recover from it, you know? Because, like, when I was in college, I could go the next night out and no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if I did that, I would need, like, a couple of days to recover from it. So, it's... No, but I don't work out, no. Last time I went to the doctors, I was 98 pounds. I'd actually like to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah, man. Have a pizza or something.
And I did. Well, then for some reason, when I had fallen in February and hurt my knee, when I get hurt or if I'm depressed or something, I won't eat, which usually it's other people. It's the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
When they're down, they eat everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
So I must have not been eating much because I actually lost a few pounds. But then when I went to see Ron, I literally gained like 5 pounds in 5 days.
Well, that's good. We need to fatten you up a little bit.
Because we ate a lot of I went to his bar and they have one of those old fashioned snack bars that looks like it's in the 80s.
Nice.
With like cheese fries and nachos and all that junky ass food. So I was eating that. We had fast food a couple times. We went out to dinner a couple times. So I'm trying to get over 100 pounds. That's my goal.
Very cool.
But I called my nutritionist and I was like, do you guys have any classes on nutrition? And I was complaining, you know, that I was trying to gain weight. And she's like, I don't think there's any call for that. She's like, I think you'd be the only one there.
Probably.
She's like, we have classes for people who want to lose weight.
Yeah, right. That's a pretty tall order right there.
Yeah, but not for gaining weight. Well, I'm a diabetic, so we have a nutritionist in the
Nice.
Right. Oh, but there, you know, there's a lot of people. I'm a type 1, but there's a lot of type 2s there, and those people are always the ones that are looking to lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
So The classes are geared towards them. I think most people probably would be mad, too, if they heard somebody wanted a class to learn how to
gain weight, right?
They'd well, be like, I'm bad with nutrition. Like, I don't eat nutritionally. Like, I just like carbs. I eat up all the bread and pasta.
Yeah.
And don't get much protein. So I was trying to see if there was, like, a class where they would teach you how to eat balanced meals, but they don't offer those. So I guess I have to figure it out on my own.
Very cool, Jessica Feeney. Well, I'll tell you what, my dear, we're coming up on the hour mark here. This has been a genuine slice of horror perfection, I feel.
I know. I feel bad, though. We talked about other stuff. You'll have to cut that out.
Oh, no. I'm leaving it in, babe.
Oh, okay.
We're getting to know Jessica Feeney, the Little Miss Horror Nerd. Jessica, well, how can we find you out there in the universe?
It's Miss Horror Nerd on Twitter, Miss Horror Nerd.
It's actually at Little Miss Horror Nerd.
No, it's my actual name is Miss Horror Nerd.
I thought it was.
I have Little Miss Horror Nerd, but that's not the at one. The at one is Miss Horror Nerd.
Okay.
No,
so that one is that one's on Twitter, right?
Right. So okay. It's at Miss Horror Nerd.
Got it.
And then if you want the podcast, it's at ResZombie7.
Very cool.
And then our website is zombie7.com.
And that's where your blog is also, correct?
Yeah. And
very
all
cool.
The episodes, there's like 150 of them. Most of them are up now. I think we might only be missing like one.
Excellent.
So they can listen to any of them there. They were also on iTunes and all those Android apps. And on Facebook, I have Miss Horror Nerd page, which you can probably find just by typing in Miss Horror Nerd. There's no one else on Facebook with that name.
Very cool.
So,
all right, my dear. Well, feel free to join me again anytime you feel like it. The door's always open for Little Miss Horror Nerd.
Yeah, what happens with your lady that you normally do the show with? Is she not doing the show this week? Or?
Oh, no, I actually do. It's on the same feed, but it's actually like two different shows. I do the regular Padded Room podcast. That's horror movie news and reviews. And then I do this, the Padded Room Outpatient Files, where I grab other podcasters and basically make them talk about porn and stuff for an hour.
I didn't know that you had like a separate thing for this. That's funny.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's all on the same feed, but it's just like a little side project that I do.
Yeah. Oh, I feel bad. I mean, I have to admit, I haven't listened to your show yet, even though you've
How been dare listening. You?
And now I'm going to have to go listen
now,
to it.
Now our relationship is in turmoil again, Jessica.
Well, I like you a lot. You're really nice. I wasn't sure what to expect because I haven't talked to you very much.
Since you blocked me on Twitter for making inappropriate comments?
I did not. I didn't know what to expect because I hadn't talked to you all that much. So.
No, yeah, this has been a pleasure. Yeah, anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. Or, we can get you in the real show if you want, if you feel like hanging out with me and Monica. I got to warn you, though, she gets a little jealous.
I was going to say, is she going to be jealous? Because I get mad when Ron wants to have other girls on.
No, she's actually a sex perv. So if you do come on with both of us, she's probably going to make some inappropriate advances towards you. So
then we'll get along well. Because, I mean, obviously, to our show, you know that Ron and I are both really perverted. So.
Absolutely.
All right,
my dear. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was nice.
Absolutely. Street.
I was hit by something last night in my sleep. It's a dead man's party. Who could ask for more? Everybody's gone.